This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. There's buried treasure in the rivers and streams of New Hampshire, 22-karat gold to be precise. While the gold coming from them there hills is of high quality, it is very low in quantity. Experienced local prospectors say that even though there isn't much of it, it's not hard to find if you know where and how to do it. Sean Hurley went prospecting for the story.
The wild Ammonoosuc River trickles to life in Kinsman Notch and rushes for 15 miles from Woodstock to Bath before breaking into the bigger, slower glass of the Ammonoosuc. While the wild Am is heavily stocked with salmon, it's not heavily fished by tourists. That might be due to the other kind of fishermen working the water. Instead of rods, they use pans. Instead of hunting for salmon, they're hunting for gold.
This is the first time I've ever done it.
Put them in the little jug here, suck them up, and then take these afterwards, put them back in here, up, you know, the comfort of your camp, and then you pick out the little fine particles. See that?
Oh, yeah.
That's a little flake of gold.
Even though he's just arrived at the Twin River campsite and just learned how to pan, Tim Birmingham, a fireman from Brookfield, Massachusetts, already has gold fever.
I'm thinking I'm digging it.
Yeah?
We found a few pieces, and now I just can't stop. You know what I mean? It's like a good piece of gum. You start chewing it, you don't want to stop.
Birmingham came to the camp because it's prospector-friendly. Campsite owner Dennis Selinsky is himself a panner.
All you really need is a pan and a scoop, and you can go out and you're going to love it or hate it. If you love it, then you know you come back, you know, you get a sniffer bottle to suck it up.
Yeah.
And vial to put it in.
Selinsky's camp store not only stocks the basic equipment, from riffled blue pans to sluices, but he also teaches proper panning technique. If you don't know how to bring a pan down, you'll never find the gold.
The idea is you swirl it around and the gold will settle to the bottom. I tell people if you're looking for gold when your pan is half full, you're wasting your time because the gold settles to the bottom because it's that much heavier.
If you can pan it all down to the black sand, that's where you'll find the gold.
And then when I get down that low, then I'll bring it over here.
Ooh. Yeah.
And that's it.
6 or 7 battered bits of gold glide out like tiny coins from the dark sand. How to pan is one thing. Where to pan is another. Veteran prospector Jim Summers says gold works its way down to the clay or bedrock. To find it, you have to dig behind rocks and boulders. Summers runs a web design company in Boston, but he doesn't go anywhere without a pan. His vacations are rivers and gold, pans and pay dirt.
It's quite addicting. Gold fever is a real thing. You know, once you hit that first piece of gold, you know, it just kind of does something to you.
Wherever you find an addict, you find a support group. As Summers shifts boulders with a rock bar, his wife Heidi sits beneath a camper awning beside her friend and fellow sufferer, Andy Sawinski, whose wife Julie also has gold fever.
Does your spouse check gold prices daily? Does every vacation you take end up near a river? If you answer yes to any of these questions, there's no hope for your spouse, but there's hope for you, you know, with
yeah.
Pans.
We don't go down to the river. Founded a support group that goes along with this group. We're called PANS, which stands for Prospectors, Abandoned, and Neglected Spouses.
Neglected Andy sits beside abandoned Heidi. They read books, enjoy cold drinks, ooh and ah over the tiny specks of gold their spouses find, and secretly enjoy their status. Like most hobbies, the payoff here is personal, an end in itself. And as valuable as gold is, Jim Summers says most gold panners do something very unexpected with their treasure.
We hang on to it and we show people and we're like, yeah, this is really cool. I found this out of the ground. It's very good gold up in here in New England. So I think really the underlying theme is it's an excuse to get outside.
If that's the underlying theme, then the overhanging question is, could someone hypothetically make a living at it? Jim Summers says that's not the point. But Dennis Selinsky does know one full-time prospector.
I know one guy that does, but you know he lives in the river, you know, and I mean he, I don't know how he does it, but he does okay.
Selinsky also knows Arthur, a local legend who runs a dredge a few miles upstream in a location that cannot be disclosed.
Gold has always been currency, religion, everything throughout the world. Not so much here. I'm just saying everywhere else.
And here, too, if you count Arthur. He's worked these waters in a wetsuit and snorkel every summer weekend for a decade, using a 4-inch dredge, the largest the state allows.
This is just the art of moving gravel. I can move a lot of dirt.
Like an old-time prospector nervous about his claim, Arthur doesn't want his last name used or this location pinned. And as to the viability of making a living from gold?
No. No way. There's some very rich gold, but there's no gold. You know what I mean? The concentration of it, there's very little. I get probably a couple ounces a year.
Like most local prospectors, Arthur never thought he'd sell his gold.
But when it shot up to $1,700, it makes you think twice. So I found a jeweler who would give me an honest price for it. After 10 years, I had like maybe 20 ounces at $1,000 an ounce. So there's 20 grand. And I went and bought a motorcycle with it.
10 years, 20 ounces, one Harley. Arthur pulls on his wetsuit and tests his snorkel before starting up his dredge. With no last name, in this unnameable spot, in a place without gold, Arthur is already gathering together the payments for his next bike from the bottom of the wild Amanoosuc. For Word of Mouth, I'm Sean Hurley.
To see Sean's pictures of some of New Hampshire's determined prospectors, go to wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you for spending some time with us today. You can tune in the rest of this week at noon and 9 p.m. to hear more unexpected stories and more new ideas. Starting next Monday, that's July 1st, Word of Mouth is moving to 2 o'clock. For radio listeners, that means your lunchtime companion will be more like an afternoon pick-me-up. And of course, you can listen when it's convenient for you at wordofmouthradio.org or on the NHPR app. And you can find out more about NHPR's upcoming programming changes at nhpr.org. I'm Virginia Prescott, and this is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.